Today we finish up our series on the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I want to begin with a quote from Andre Crouch. Andre was a gospel singer from the 70s and 80s period especially. But he made the statement one time, "They call me a holy roller, and what they say is true. But if they knew what I was rolling about, they'd be rolling too." Well, we have lots of room for rolling if you want to. No, not this morning. But we want to talk about being filled with the Spirit. And boy, when you get filled with the Spirit, sometimes you want to roll. Or at least shout to the Lord. And we're going to talk about that today. I want to begin with talking about the first step in being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to review some of the things that Harvey and Glenn have said and get a foundation going for us. Many of you will know what I'm going to say at first, but the first step in being filled with the Holy Spirit is to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And that happens when you commit your life to Jesus Christ. When you invite him to forgive your sins, he died on the cross for your forgiveness. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life. And Jesus Christ died on the cross so we don't have to die in eternity. We can be alive. We may leave our bodies behind, but we'll still be alive and really alive in Christ. We need to invite him into our lives. And when we confess our sins and ask God to forgive us and say, "I want Jesus as my Savior, Lord, send your Spirit to me. I want to be born again." The Holy Spirit comes within a new believer, and he recreates us inside. We're born again. We're made a new creation in Christ, and the Holy Spirit takes up his residence inside of us. And that's the first step. We need to get the Holy Spirit in. There's one thing to get him inside, and there's another thing to kind of let him flow out. And that's what being filled with the Spirit is about. We need to realize that Jesus is both our Savior, but also our Lord. Jesus is now to be the goal and the director of all that we say or think or do. Christ comes into our life through the Holy Spirit to change us, to make us a new person in Christ, so that we're different. He wants to transform us, and we need to open our hearts up to that. We need to learn what that means. And that begins by having God speak to us through Scripture. I say to people, a chapter a day keeps the devil away. Not really, but it does help. And we need to read Scripture every day. If you don't have a Bible, we'll be glad to give you one. You need to start and have a DQT. That does not stand for Dairy Queen Treat. It stands for daily quiet time. That's a time that you set aside each day, preferably in the morning, but not necessarily, a time when you can just have some time to read the Bible, a chapter or two, or maybe even four. If you read four chapters a day, you'll get through the whole Bible in a year. There's some programs for doing that. But read some Scripture every day. It's good to start in the New Testament. If you haven't been doing that, I suggest maybe begin with the Gospel of John and read that, and maybe the other Gospels. And if you're going to read from the Old Testament, jump back and read some of the Psalms. You don't have to read all 150 of them, just read a few of them. Then come back to the New Testament and work your way through the New Testament, going back periodically to read the Old Testament. But work yourself through Scripture and come to understand it. Open your heart and ask God to speak to you as you read it and think about, how can I apply this to my life? There's a commandment in Matthew chapter 25. One of them, a lawyer, asked the question to him, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments depend the law and the prophets." And when we seek to fulfill these commands, the Spirit fills us. Set your heart on loving God, on learning from God, on being conformed to the image of Christ. And when that happens, when you're really seeking that, the Holy Spirit then has freedom to work within you and to fill you. The Holy Spirit will guide us in applying the Scriptures in our daily lives. In John chapter 16, it says, Jesus says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." So when you're reading Scripture, think of it as, I'm not just sitting here by myself reading Scripture. I'm here with the Holy Spirit, and I want to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and how it applies to my life and what he wants me to do with this in reaching others. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to connect with him, listen to him. You also need to not grieve him. You ever grieve anything? Feel bad about something? Well, the Holy Spirit will sometimes grieve. "Oh no, you're not doing that again, are you, John?" We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as is fit the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." But sexual immorality and all impurity or greediness must not ever be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Don't do the garbage kind of stuff that the world around us does. There's a lot of garbage talk, a lot of insulting, a lot of downgrading people, a lot of immoral, corrupting, rotten, putrid talk. Garbage talk, garbage behavior. That's the world. God doesn't want that in our lives. It also can grieve the Holy Spirit by what we eat, drink, watch, listen to, and do. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." My wife Jane is a beautiful example of that. I'll come to that later on. I've got a beautiful example of her. But she walks around the house singing to the Lord. She sings old hymns. She sings the contemporary stuff. And she sings songs that the Lord gives her, just praising the Lord. Sometimes she'll sing in tongues, worshiping God. I say, "Go right ahead, dear. Really builds me up." I enjoy it. I don't do much singing out loud myself. I can sing here because you guys all cover me up. But I do like to sing. But some of us have real gifts for singing. And if you're one of those people, sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to let the fruit of the Spirit transform us also. It says in Galatians, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, he bears fruit. I got an apple tree in our front yard that I planted, and it's been starting to grow some apples, so we got a few this year. A tree produces fruit, and the Holy Spirit, when he comes in and reveals God's love to you, that love penetrates you and flows out from you, and you start producing the love of God. Love for God, but love for other people. And God wants that love to flow through you to others. And his faith, his gentleness, his kindness, his meekness, his self-control. He wants to flow those things through you and reach out to other people. And we need to let the Holy Spirit transform us for that. The Holy Spirit will also guide us each day in what we do. John 16 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Again, he's going to open up the Word of God to you and help you understand. There's a whole lot of claims out there and promises, especially right now as election is coming up, huh? Everybody's making, "This is true. This is true." No, they're lying. This is true. The Word of God is true. And he'll let you see through all the other garbage out there, what's true and what's false. But we need to let the Holy Spirit speak to us and direct us. The Holy Spirit will guide us in how to apply things to our lives. As I said, John 16 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit wants to guide and direct our lives. And we need to listen to Him and learn the principles of Scripture and let them be the guide and direction for us. It's easy to set our own goals. I had big goals. When I went off to college, I knew what I wanted to do, and I had a goal. And second semester of my senior year, God said, forget all that stuff and go to seminary. So I had to completely let go of all that I had spent 4 years working on and go to seminary and come out to some weird place in the middle of nowhere called Potsdam, New York. Oh, and God blessed that. And He's going to do something like that in your life, maybe. He'll lead you and guide you. But He'll guide you into all truth and what's real. So we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but we're also, we're also not to quench the Spirit. First Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every force of evil or form of evil. So grieving the Spirit is doing the bad stuff He doesn't want you to. Quenching the Spirit is not doing what He does want you to do. We need to be open to let the Spirit work through us. I remember when I went to talk to a professor one time, my senior year, about what does God want me to do? And he said, how has God used you? And he said, well, I shared with him all I had done in InterVarsity. I was a program chairman and had structured the groups of the InterVarsity group so that it grew and grew. Started out, it was 25. By the time I was 3 years as program chairman, it was 125. And God had just blessed the ministry. And he said, well, maybe God wants you to be a preacher. And I said, but I stutter and I'm not good at speaking and I don't like being in front of people and all that stuff. Don't quench the Spirit. God wants to speak through you. God wants to use you to reach the people around you, to bring them to Christ, to let them see your life, the difference that Christ has made in you, and let them hear the gospel through your words. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to build up other believers, to minister in the body of Christ. It's great that you're all here on Sunday, but the rest of the week you need to be in contact with each other. You need to be building each other up, caring for each other, ministering to each other, helping one another. That's what it means to be in the body of Christ. Don't quench the Spirit. When He puts somebody on your heart, follow through on that. When you see a need and you hear the Spirit speaking to you, reach out to them. Walk in the Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these things are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. We need to not quench the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit flows from a focus on being filled with a love for God who loves us. It flows out of a relationship with God. Romans 5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Jane and I have been married for 56 years. I get congratulations, she gets condolences. We met at an intervarsity camp. We were both on work crew one summer in Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And we met, I remember we had a work crew social, and afterwards we were carrying the meals, the empty plates up to the kitchen. And I made sure I walked out of the room at the same time as her. And I said, oh, hi, I'm John. What's your name? And so we walked up and we met and started eating meals together and went for a walk in the woods. And I wrote a poem about that. Do I get the picture? Guys in the center, there it is. That was 50 years later. We went back to that same camp. And on our anniversary, 51 years later, because we got married a year later, but we were walking down that same path, holding hands again. And I wrote this poem. She filled my heart with love when we were young, while holding hands and walking down the road. She still does it now as we are growing old. You want to walk down the path, yeah, with my wife, but also with God. God wants to walk with you through your life. And it needs to be a walk together, not just a trip on Sunday. Day to day, hour by hour, minute by minute, where you're in fellowship with God, looking to God, asking God questions, listening to his answer, stepping out in faith. That's crucial to be being filled with the Spirit. There are barriers to being filled with the Spirit. Doubt, fear, a sense of inadequacy. God really speaking to me? Doubt goes like this, you see. If I ask, I really don't think I'd receive. Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, the verb tenses there are keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. In other words, oh, no answer, must not work. No answer, God, answer. God, I'm waiting for an answer. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. And it'll come. It'll come in God's time, not yours. I need it now. No, you don't need it right now. How about 10 years from now? Oh. Okay, a month from now. Okay, tomorrow. Just be patient. So, doubt, fear. Maybe you think, oh, I'll ask, but I probably won't get it. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is opened. And then sense of inadequacy. You feel messed up and inadequate. Jesus says, if you then, though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you've never committed your life to Christ, today's a good day to do that. If you have, you're still struggling. We all are. But you're wondering about the Holy Spirit. You're wondering about the gifts. Open your hearts. You say, I did it. Keep opening it up. Don't give up. God, I'm going to hang in there till I see you working in my life. I'm going to read your scripture. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to do what you call me to do. And I'm going to wait for you. He wants to meet with you. There's going to be a prayer team down here. If you've got needs in your life and you want God to meet those needs, feel free to come down. If you've got further questions about the Holy Spirit, if you've been up for prayer before, but it just hasn't clicked, I'll be down here too. I'm glad to pray with you again. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking.